You're listening to the Marketplace Flash Briefing. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We begin today with a pair of stories about two key parts of this economy. The first one's a quickie because it's something we have covered, every single week since March. The number of people filing new claims for unemployment benefits, 742,000 was the number that came out this morning. That is people who've lost their jobs in the week ended Saturday, 742,000 of them. Big as that is, it is lower than it has been overall. That is true. But it's a week-over-week increase in that number for the first time in a month. In other words, it's going the wrong way. Story number two is housing, which just keeps chugging along. Pandemic be darned. How about that? Because it's a family radio show. Sales of existing homes last month hit their highest level in 15 years. That's according to the National Association of Realtors. And yes, prices were up again, too. More equity for those lucky enough to own right now. But meanwhile, a report out today from Harvard tells a different story about a different part of the housing market. Renters, especially those with the lowest incomes. Marketplace's Amy Scott covers housing for us.
One in five renters earning less than $25,000 a year are behind on rent. And Chris Herbert with Harvard's Joint Center for Housing Studies says the racial and ethnic disparities are stark.
While 15% of white renters at that income level are behind, 25% of black and Hispanic renters are behind. And this reflects the fact that black and Hispanic workers are more likely to be in the sectors of the economy that have had a shutdown from the pandemic and so have lost wages.
Meanwhile, two policies that have helped renters stay in their homes, a national moratorium on evictions and extended unemployment benefits, are set to expire next month.
So January could be a very difficult month for millions of renters.
And evictions haven't completely stopped. Carol Ott with the Fair Housing Action Center of Maryland says it's up to individual judges.
We are seeing people being evicted through the courts. We're also seeing illegal evictions where the landlord will go and change the locks on the tenant.
Widespread evictions could increase demand for homeless shelters, emergency rooms, and child welfare services, says Dan Threet, a research analyst with the National Low Income Housing Coalition.
And the public costs to health and social service systems could range between $62 and $129 billion.
He says the solution is direct payments to help tenants catch up on billions of dollars in back rent. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Let's recap here, shall we? Congress is not talking about the state of this economy. The president is not talking about the state of this economy. You know who is talking and thinking about the state of this economy? The Federal Reserve and its 12 regional banks. And of those 12, the New York Fed is first among equals. Yesterday, I talked to the guy running it as part of a conference put on by the Society for Advanced Business Editing and Writing. John Williams is his name. He is the president and CEO of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. Here you go.
So, look, John, the easy first softball question is, what does your gut tell you about the state of this economy right now? So I'm not going to ask that one. I'm gonna ask it a little differently. What is the state of this economy going to be if we go from today to Inauguration Day or maybe till vaccine, whatever that is, let's say hopefully springtime, without some kind of fiscal relief? What do you see?
Yeah. And, of course, I would have not answered with my gut. I would have answered based on enormous amounts of data and analysis and great work by my colleagues and others. On your question, I go back to, I think fiscal support has been really critically important in 2020. The CARES Act and other actions by Congress provided people with money, small businesses through the PPP, getting unemployment benefits, and that's helped people pay their rent, put food on the table. So to answer your question, I think when that money runs out and some of these programs expire, I think that cuts off some of the support that small businesses and households we're getting, and that's going to slow the economy because people won't have as much money to spend. And again, I think the support has been really critically important.
I'm sure you're sick and tired of people asking you about things that Jay Powell said, but he's the chair, so I kind of have to ask you about things he says. He pointed out the other day in a video conference he was doing, I think, with Christine Lagarde and European bankers. Yes, the economy is recovering, but we're recovering to a different economy. We are recovering to a different future. And I wonder how you took that, what you took that to mean.
Well, you know, like you said, I will let him speak for himself. I do think that the economy is you know, always undergoing significant change. And I have seen, you know, changes in the economy, the use of technology, working from home, changes that are happening in the retail sector and in entertainment. Those were happening already. And so what we've seen is just an acceleration in terms of how our economy works. And I think those are fundamental changes that are going to affect the workforce, productivity, global competitiveness as well.
Let me go back to something we talk about on Marketplace all the time. And it's a little bit of a simple question with, I think, a really difficult answer. I wonder what you think of the idea that the easy part of this recovery is done, that we have had our fiscal stimulus, we've had tools that the Fed has used, and now we're kind of heading into the unknown. Do you buy that?
You know, I don't really know what that means, but I guess I don't buy it then because I'm saying I don't know what it means. I've actually said, and you can, you know, hold me to this, I will never use a letter to describe this recession recovery ever, because every time I've done that, I've been in this business a long time, it's ended up being wrong. So I think that we just have to think about this as being a very unique situation. We've seen the economy bounce back far faster than anyone could have expected. At the same time, we've seen obviously severe hardship. We're still down 10 million jobs in the U.S. economy relative to February. I mean, we're still in a severe recession. But it's so much driven by COVID and the fact that, you know, there are certain segments, important segments of our economy that we, you know, don't interact with, restaurants and theaters and travel that we talked about. So I think that to me, it is always kind of unusual. The whole thing has been since March. And we just need to adapt and use our tools to the best we can, given the circumstances.
I think you said in a speech a number of months ago, midsummer-ish, that it's going to be 3 years before we're close to normal. You sticking to that?
Well, you know, since then, I think two things have made me a little bit more positive about that longer-term outlook. Obviously, right now, with the cases, you know, so high, yeah, and all the challenges we've talked about already, the short-term issues are still very challenging. But I would say that my view over the next 3 years, if anything, has become somewhat more upbeat. One is we've seen our economy rebound more strongly than I expected. And the other is the news on, you know, like I said, the news on, mm-hmm, on some of the medical breakthroughs, I think, is helpful in that regard. We, you know, we'll have to see how the economy evolves the next few years. But overall, I'm feeling somewhat more optimistic around that. But it's still going to take a few years to get to, I think, to get a full recovery.
That's all for today's Flash Briefing. For more news, visit marketplace.org.